In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. We're so happy that you're here. And if you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. I've got to tell you, this is not my favorite color. Even though I hear a little girl said to me this morning, "Oh, Father, you look so pretty in pink." It's supposed to be rose, everyone. Look at the candle, rose. But American, this is made in the USA, by the way, you'd be proud. It was made in the USA. But American investment companies don't quite get rose. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we've got. You know, it's really funny. In 2002, I was at a parish not too far from here. I was supposed to be there for 2 months during a crisis that the pastor had experienced that night. The bishop said, "I want you to go there." I went there for two months, right? It ended up being 2 years. So I had this vestment in the closet, and the new guy who came after me said, "Albert, why don't you take it? Because I'm never going to wear that." So it's my favorite price tag. It didn't cost me anything. There was a man who was really disturbing the peace. He was very, very loud. He claimed to be John the Baptist. So at first people thought, "Oh, this guy's just a crazy guy in the neighborhood." So nobody bothered too much with him. But eventually the police got a whiff of it, because he stood out in the middle of the street and blocked traffic. And the guy kept screaming, "I'm John the Baptist. Jesus sent me here. I'm John the Baptist." And this went on and on until the police decided he really didn't belong in jail. He needed to go to the psych ward. So they got him to the psych ward. And as the man's walking in, they finally assigned him to a room. And he's still screaming, "I'm John the Baptist, and Jesus sent me here. I'm John the Baptist. Jesus sent me here." And so sure enough, as he walks into his roommate starts looking at him very intently. There's a long pause of silence. "But I'm John the Baptist. Jesus sent me here." So the roommate got up and said, "Listen to me. I don't know who you are, but I know I did not send you anywhere." The lectionary for the past 2 Sundays has put John the Baptist front and center for us. And there's a reason for that. John the Baptist is the precursor. John the Baptist is the one sent by the Lord to get the people of Israel to open their hearts to something they had been longing for a long time. And if you think about it, this season of Advent is a season of waiting. As a matter of fact, the reason we have this third candle is rose, and the reason we make, you know, this kind of Rose Sunday is a special Sunday, is because in the journey of Advent, it seems like such a long waiting that the church kind of gives us a break this third Sunday to rejoice at the anticipation, at the hope that Jesus will come to us. So imagine, when John the Baptist went out there and started to scream in the wilderness or in the desert, "The Lord's coming, prepare yourself, prepare the way." You imagine how many generations had passed from the time of Isaiah that we heard at the beginning, the prophet saying that the joy of the Lord will come to you, the joy of the Lord will be revealed. You imagine the generations that passed. The entire Old Testament is filled with prophets speaking about the longing of the Savior. You know, you think your lines are long at Publix. You think your lines are long when you go to the stores these days. Imagine when you go to the post office. Have you seen that? It takes forever. Everything about this time of year points to a kind of waiting. And we're all waiting. And that's not just a physical reality. It's also a spiritual one. We're called to make sure that we are aware of what we're longing for. And the interesting thing about it is that many times we wonder, what's up with our spiritual lives? What's going on inside of us? And part of the reason is that our hearts are not fixed on Jesus. They're fixed on everything else going on around us. And there's a lot going on. But we are no different in 2016 than those people Jesus was speaking about, than those people John the Baptist was trying to reach. Because those people were also faithful folks. They were religious people. They believed. But they were distracted. Now, there's two main reasons they were distracted. What were they expecting? If I say to you, by the way, tonight, get dressed up because, you know, the most important celebrity or whoever, the president, whoever, the Queen of England is coming to my house. And, wow, okay, everybody gets dressed up and all that. And then you open the door, and it looks like a homeless person. And then you begin to think, wait, Her Majesty doesn't look like that. See, they were expecting a different kind of king. They were expecting a different kind of political messiah, someone who's going to come like a revolutionary and transform the political system of the time. Get rid of the Romans, get rid of all the people who are harassing them and charging them taxes. They really thought the Savior would come with all kinds of temporal political power. And who came? Jesus. And who announced him? John the Baptist. There were no royal robes like you hear in today's gospel. Those are in palaces. There was nothing that was considered, grandeur. The kingdom of God is certainly different than the kingdoms of this world. And so what were the signs that Jesus sends back to John when he was questioned, you know, are you really the one? Oh, well, guess what? The blind can see, the lame can walk, the poor are getting the good news. The kingdom of Jesus was very different from the kingdoms of this world. Do you notice how Jesus doesn't go back to John and say, oh, you know, I transformed the political system. The Romans are all believers now. And guess what? You know, no more taxes. Life is different, the poor are all eating. That's not what he said. Transformation is taking place at the kingdom level. What is our expectation? We must open our hearts to the real Jesus. The real Jesus who comes to transform us and gives us so much more than we can anticipate or plan for. But in order for that to happen, we have to open our hearts, open our minds to Jesus. The real Messiah, as God has revealed the Messiah, not the king of this world that the religious people of the time were expecting. And still to this day, I would venture to say to you that we talk a lot about Jesus in our society, in our world, but people don't really know what to expect. When Jesus knocks at the door, and he does, he knocks at the door of our hearts every day in so many different ways. Are we expecting the real Jesus? The Jesus that comes to us in those simple moments of kindness and love that we experience every day. The Jesus that comes to us in the laughter of children, in the smile of an elderly person. The Jesus that comes to us when we encounter different situations and we see love incarnate. through the loving actions of human beings as they care for each other. That's the God made flesh. It's the real Jesus coming to us. But we have to be able to expect it and understand that God is here. The other day, we had an evangelism conference in Dallas. I was very honored to be one of the speakers. The presiding bishop brought a bunch of us together and said, let's talk about evangelism in the Episcopal Church. And one of the things that came up at the beginning is they asked a group of us, what is evangelism? And you know, everybody's talking about presenting, bringing Jesus to the world and bringing this to the world and talking about Jesus and the gospel of the world. And I'm thinking, okay, how do we bring Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel, how do we bring Jesus to a world that many times has already given up on Jesus without being introduced? Think about it. How do we bring Jesus and talk about Jesus to a world that in many ways has already given up on Jesus? The reason being, of course, that many times the only representatives that are out there that speak about Jesus are kind of Jesus freaks. People who are scary. People who need, you know, luxury airplanes to go from one place to the other because that's God told them they needed a plane. I've heard that. And so many other things that cloud the message of the gospel, that cloud the real message of salvation, that hinder us from getting to know the real Jesus. See, we're not that different from those people that John the Baptist was speaking to. We're not that different from those people that Jesus tried to reach 2,000 years ago. We also put up some resistance. Look at our society. The other day I heard a story. I think it was from a teacher or a student. I don't know who was telling me that in their public school, a child got in trouble because a child sneezed and another child said, God bless you. And the teacher said, oh, you can't say that in this classroom. Say, what? There's real resistance. You know, we hear this gospel and we think, oh, those people were bad. You know, those Jews in the time of Israel, they were tough, man. Those Sadducees and those Pharisees, oh, they really didn't like the Lord. We're the same way. We put up the same kind of resistance to God. You can't even say Merry Christmas sometimes, right? I'm going to share with you, so you please memorize it, the politically correct way of making your Christmas greeting. Please memorize it. Best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral, winter solstice holiday, practiced within the most joyous traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice, but with respect for the religious persuasions of others who choose to practice their own religion as well, for those who choose not to participate or practice any religion at all. And then after you say that, to be politically correct, you have to say this disclaimer. Listen carefully. Disclaimer. This greeting is subject to clarification or withdrawal. It implies no responsibility for unintended emotional stress these greetings may bring to those not caught up in the holiday spirit. Why do I share that with you? I share that with you because when we look at the gospel, we think, man, those people were really resistant to God, weren't they? We're the same way. And the real Jesus comes to us. He comes to us in so many ways. And we have a hard time going to this activity. You can announce Bible study till you're blue in the face. The same people always come. You can say, we're going to have this spiritual activity, that spiritual activity. Same people always come. The fact is, we don't make God our priority that much, do we? We have a lot of other things happening. And in the spirit of Advent, on this third Sunday in Advent, we have to ask ourselves the question, how am I expecting Jesus to transform my life, to change me, to make me better, to make me what he wants me to be, if I'm not opening my heart to the Lord? I must first open my heart to God in order for God to act. There's something about the God we believe in, you know. God is very, very respectful of us. Almost too respectful. I mean, God is the only creator ever to make us with such freedom that we're even able to turn away from Him. Nobody would create something that would turn away from its creator. Think about it. You make a chair, you make a pew, you make everything, it's to serve you, right? To do what you want with it. The way God made us is God gave us radical freedom. Even to turn away from God. So the only way that I know of that we can be all transformed in Christ and through Christ and in Christ, the only way we can be transformed by the Lord Jesus is to open our hearts and minds to Him radically, to allow the Lord Jesus to act in our lives. It's a use of our freedom, by the way, to open the door. The Lord knocks. We must respond. The third Sunday in Advent is a time for us to rejoice, to try to grasp the hope that is to come, the joy of the Savior that came to us and took on our human condition, one who became one like us, the Emmanuel, the God with us, to try to grasp that mystery, to try to open ourselves to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. To know that the Lord comes to us. And He doesn't just come as a visitor to hang out with us. He comes to transform us with the power of His grace. Amen. Amen.